You're listening to Connecting Faith, and every other Wednesday they have the opportunity to talk church and culture with Leith Anderson, who's been president of the National Association of Evangelicals since 2006 and was a senior pastor of Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie for 35 years, written a number of books, and we're always honored to have some time to talk with Leith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Hey, thank you. Good to talk to you, Neil.
Good to have you back, Leith. Ted here. And, you know, here we are in the midst of the first few days of President Trump's days in office. And clearly it seems that he will be the populist that he campaigned as. And, you know, he doesn't seem that concerned about Washington protocol. So does that change how you and the NAE team interact on the political government level at all?
Ted, you have a way of asking really big questions with a sentence or two. Wow. Well, you know, it's probably too soon to predict what this Congress and this president will do. As far as the NAE is concerned, we have a long history, 75 years this year, actually, of advocating for biblical values in Washington. And, you know, sometimes that's led to strong agreement with our government and sometimes some pretty deep disagreement. So what we'll do, no, this doesn't sound too exciting, but we'll always do what we've done, and that's stand for biblical values and religious liberty and protection of the poor, the unborn, the vulnerable, the immigrant. Our tagline at NAE is influence for good. So the way I figure it, presidents and congresses and courts, they come and they go, and they last a few years, and they're replaced, and God's word is eternal.
Yeah.
Leith, we talked about religious freedom. I know this president has, you know, at least given some indication that he would realize that that is a serious issue. But are there maybe one or two things that sort of come to the top of the agenda for you with a new administration?
Religious freedom or religious liberty is like a really big deal. And I think it's threatened in the United States. I think it's threatened around the world. And that means that it needs to be a top priority for us. And, you know, what we've had is that traditional biblical Christian faith has been in a position of majority and power for a long time in the United States. And there are many quarters in which that's waning. And as it does, there are people that are kind of equating religious liberty with bigotry and with animosity, and that's just totally not true. It's in a context of wanting to love our neighbors as ourselves and being faithful to God, but to have the freedom and the liberty to do that, and it's at risk.
You know, speaking of, you know, liberty and freedom, there was a recent article in World Magazine about a disagreement among evangelicals over possible legislation called Fairness for All, and it kind of goes back to the Supreme Court's decision on same-sex marriage and maybe some religious freedom implications here for ministers and individuals. I know you're a part of some forums discussing that. I'm just wondering if you can say a little bit more about that, maybe what the objective is and why the concerns.
Well, the award just switched from Ted to you.
Yeah, okay.
All right. That is a really big question. But again, the issue is still religious liberty. As you well know, the Supreme Court has legalized same-sex marriage in the United States, and at the same time, probably of greater consequence is that there is a movement in laws and culture that is very broad, favoring a new understanding of sexual orientation and gender identity. And so what we want is to protect the beliefs and the practices of those who differ and disagree because of their religious convictions. And that's a pretty broad swath of America. This includes millions of Muslims and Mormons, all the way to Orthodox Jews and evangelical Christians. So we have 19 states that already have passed laws on sexual orientation and gender identity. And then, consider this, 60%, actually more than 60% of Americans already live under such laws through state legislation and local ordinances. So some of them have some religious freedom protections, but most of them have no such protections. So Fairness for All is an approach that acknowledges certain rights with which we may not agree, but it's in established laws already, And we want to establish laws with that that protect biblical convictions in hiring and accommodations and faith practices in our churches and schools and organizations and businesses. So the idea of fairness for all is to bring these religious liberty preferences right up there with these other changing realities in law and society. And now's the time to do it, because our religious liberty is really important.
Agreed there. You know, it occurs to me, thinking about disagreement, that there will always be disagreements to some degree. How do you approach and address positions of disagreement? I mean, are there some principles that we could all apply in our daily lives?
Well, thank you for agreeing and then talking about disagreement.
Yeah, right, yeah, there you go.
I mean, we all do, that disagreements, differences, it's kind of a universal human experience. And those things can be limited by dictatorships, but they're often exaggerated by democracy because everybody's sort of got their opinion. And I got to insert in here that I just personally don't like conflict. I know there are people who do, even some Christians. They just enjoy a good fight, but that's not me. But anyway, my approach is to begin with the Bible, know what I believe, listen to the views of others, really try to love those I disagree with and explain to them what I believe and why. And in the public sense, in public statements, one of my principles is to speak the truth but avoid criticizing other people by name. So focus on the truth rather than on the attack.
Although, you know, not everybody uses that same approach. So, I mean, it's pretty easy to get attacked, right? For anybody who says anything today is most likely to get attacked by somebody. That gets a little hard to take, right? How do you not maybe take all that personally?
Well, it's hard not to take things personally, yeah. especially if you've got a commitment that you are not going to counterattack by doing the same thing to other people. I've got my convictions, and sometimes you just need to absorb the reality of people that behave in ways that I don't think are biblical or Christian. And in a sense, it gives each of us as Bible believers and as Christians an opportunity to demonstrate the way of Jesus in circumstances that we would not choose, which Jesus did repeatedly. I mean, he was attacked, he was criticized, he was crucified, and he demonstrated his truth and God's truth and what Christian faith is all about. So that's exactly what we need to do.
And perhaps a way we could do that is just to say, you know, we're going to have to agree to disagree on this point and move on, right?
Yeah, just as long as that's not a cop-out that we disagree. It depends on what we're talking about, because in some instances, I'm not even sure I'm willing to say that I think we have levels here, Ted, and that, you know, there are some things where we just need to say, yeah, it's a difference and that's the reality. But there are some great truths and principles of human life and the place that God has as the sovereign of our world that I'm not quite ready to even say that I'm just going to disagree with you.
Yeah. Just reading through a little bit more of the article about, you know, some of these challenges in which we live and religious freedom and different viewpoints that, I mean, at the heart of the gospel, it's changing one's mind. And it's a wonderful thing that we can, in fact, do that. But, you know, we shouldn't do that lightly, right? You need to use evidence and have, I think, probably convincing arguments, right?
Well, of course, and it depends on what we're changing our mind about.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's between Burger King and McDonald's, it's probably not a big deal. But we're talking about Christian truth and Christian doctrine. I think we should be really slow to change our mind and to start with what the scriptures have to say, not with what the person that we're talking to has to say. You know that great verse in the Old Testament that, what does God require of us? To act justly, Micah 6:8, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And walking humbly with God is with God, so it's what he says and what his authoritative word teaches us. But to walk humbly also says, I can't be so sure of myself that it's all about me. I can't be a narcissist. I can't be a know-it-all. Humility means I may be wrong and that I may need to change my mind. But let's be cautious when we're talking about essential, absolute truths.
which is what the National Association of Evangelicals has been advocating for biblical values for 75 years. And honored to spend some time again with Leith Anderson, who joins us every other Wednesday to give us an update. It's nae.net, right?
nae.net. And there's everything from podcasts to instructions and all kinds of things. So check it out.
NAE.net, Leith Anderson, president of the National Association of Evangelicals, longtime pastor at Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota for over 35 years, has written 20 books and joins us to talk church and culture.